everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Coach McVay Show, presented by Microsoft Surface. I'm JB Long with my friend and colleague DeMarco Farr, and the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay. 3-4 and heading to Tampa Bay, and at the end of October, the start of November. Interesting time to be having this conversation. Sean, how did you divide your Monday between wrapping up San Francisco, getting a head start on Tampa Bay, and then also dealing with the trade deadline and other roster concerns?
Yeah, really, it's kind of been wrapping up San Francisco, dealing with some of the other things that you know have to deal with, you know, as a head coach, and then I'll get on to Tampa after I finish up with you guys today. And so, it was a tough day yesterday because I thought our guys had a great week of preparation. Thought they came out ready to go in the first half, and then there just wasn't enough that, you know, we were able to do in the second half to finish that game. But the challenge is always when you put that much into it, how do you respond? How do you regroup, and how do you really say, let's look at it. Let's not allow the Niners to beat us twice in terms of how we move forward to approach the week of preparation for the Buccaneers to try to just go get our fourth win. And that's kind of where my focus has been spent today, and looking forward to jumping on these guys after we finish up.
That's kind of the question I had coming in, like, you know, staying on message with your guys. So, you know, some people want to make it, add levity, try to make me laugh or try to make me forget about what just happened. But I like what you said. We're going to have an honest look at the video and then work from there. So where are we as a football team? I'm sitting in front of you.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that's a loaded question as it relates to who I'm actually talking to. But I think what you do want to do, and you can appreciate this as a player, let's evaluate the actual performance. Let's be honest with the good and the bad. Let's understand where our accountability is shared amongst one another, how we're all in this together, and how we best move forward to try to execute more consistently at a higher level, whether that entails just our assignments with our communication, some of the checks and balances there. And then sometimes it's as simple as, hey, let's try to be able to make a play or understand getting in and out of the right plays based on what the defense or the opposing offense ends up presenting. And that's what it is. It's you're looking at the film. And the one thing that I can appreciate about our coaches and our players is I don't ever feel like accountability has been a problem. You know, we all know where our role and responsibility lies within it. Ultimately, it's about us as Rams staying connected. And this is some real challenges that we're going through, you know, because we have been very spoiled and I've been spoiled by things have gone pretty well for us. And so to be seven games into the season in this spot is foreign, but I think that's a credit to the players doing a great job in previous years. And then I do think that a lot of these things are identifiable. And we've gone through some things that were very unforeseen going into this season, none of which stopped the games. You got to be able to move forward and you got to be able to figure out how to adjust and adapt and be stretched in ways that maybe you never thought you would be otherwise. But what I am aware of and not naive to the fact is that this adversity does present an opportunity to show what you're made of. And all we can really focus on, DeMarco, is improving, approaching the process the right way, being solution oriented, not being afraid to put everything that you got out there again, and then be able to try to see if we can get the result that we want. And that's where this isn't for everybody, because what most people don't have in them is the ability to say, I'm going to do everything in my power and just compete to the best of my ability and then let the chips fall where they may. And when it doesn't go down the way that you want, do you have the resilience to get back up and keep swinging and do that same thing again, while also making sure that you make some adjustments that you think are necessary, whether that's from a coaching perspective or a player perspective, acknowledge the things that need to get fixed. But that's what's the beauty of sports. You know, you're right out front and center, and there is a measuring stick on whether you win or lose, and, you know, in some rare instances, tie every single week. And there's a lot of layers to that. But to be able to do it and have that same focus, that same concentration, that same enthusiasm that's required, even when you don't get the result that you're hunting up, that's where you learn about people, and that's where you can find out who's got the mental toughness, the resilience to be able to sustain a little bit of adversity and fight their way out of it. And like you guys have heard me say before, tough times don't last, tough people do. And that's the way that we're going to look at this. Is this a feeling that you don't want to have in a situation you don't want to be in? Damn right it is. But we are in it, we own it, and we've got to be able to move forward the right way, because nobody's feeling sorry for us. And I trust that the people that are in this with us, players and coaches, we'll find a way to handle this to the best of our ability, and that's all the heck we can do.
After 2 months and seven live games together, do you feel like you have a firm sense of what this roster is capable of at its highest level?
I think it's hard to say, you know, because we just haven't had enough continuity. I think you've seen glimpses of it, but I think we've also seen some things that we have to do at a more consistent, I'd say all the time, consistency is the truest measurement of performance. We have not been consistent, you know, and that's why we are where our record says we are. And so do I think that we can achieve that? Of course. But I think that some things need to be in alignment with, you know, more clarity consistently on our part, you know, from a coaching standpoint, more consistent executions with the fundamentals, the techniques, eliminating the bad football, being tougher, being smarter with our consistent execution throughout. You know, it's, you see in the first half, we're capable of playing good football, but how do we sustain it through four quarters? And that's what I want to be able to see. And even in some of our wins where we've finished off winning the football game, you'd like to see a cleaner finish from the first quarter through the fourth quarter. And so do I believe that we have it in us? Yes. Do I think that we've got to be able to start showing that and be more consistent, and then hopefully, you know, have some some fortunate things occur where we can have a more consistent lineup with guys getting continuity? That is a part of it. But I'm not going to make excuses about the injuries, but I think that's a part of how we do some of the things that you're asking, JB.
Football's fickle, man. It really is. I hate to sound naive, but I truly believe all you need is one play and it could spark. A ball bounces to you instead of them. You get your hands on the ball, you pick it instead of drop it.
Yeah.
That stuff builds momentum.
No question. There's a lot of things that could hypothetically change the outcome of the game, but the outcome was what it was.
Right.
And there's a lot of plays that could be that momentum swing. And even if we don't get one of those bounces, how do we create it? How do we take some of those bounces that are really out of your control back into our favor by playing more consistent, more sharp, you know, just being able to make more plays, and then, you know, how can we try to put our guys in the best spots possible with the things that we can control from a coaching perspective as well.
I sense a lot of frustration, saw it on the field, between the lines, outside the lines. Why wouldn't there be, given sure. how badly you want this? Is part of your task this week funneling that towards the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and making sure that stays
inside out? It is. And I think that, you know, emotions run hot. There's a lot that goes into it, as you know, JB. And I think that's what was reflected. And I think the guys know that we didn't finish the way that we're capable of. And I'll continue to say it because I believe it. We're all in it together. There's different reasons why certain things didn't work out the way that we wanted to. But ultimately, the Rams as a team, we didn't get it done. Mm-hmm. And we've got to be able to own that. We've got to be able to look inwardly on what can we do moving forward. And yeah, emotions are a big part of it. There's a lot of frustrations, and that means it matters to guys, but understanding how to channel that energy and emotional energy in the right direction towards the Bucs is absolutely going to be where our focus and concentration is. I think it's good to get the guys in here, get them kind of turned over in terms of just the recovery, get some treatment from Reggie and his group, be able to look at the film, take a day off, and then come back Wednesday ready to attack it the right way.
End of the first half. 1 minute, one timeout, 4-point lead, I guess, in real time. Go for it, Sean. Hit the end zone. Put the dagger in him.
Yeah.
But you chose to go conservative. You talked about it in the postgame.
I did.
What went into that decision?
It was what we kind of talked about. Yeah. I think I liked the way that we had played the first half, kind of on the terms that we felt like was going to be in alignment to win the football game and establish momentum and keep it in our favor. Obviously knew they were getting the ball coming out of the half, but what I didn't want to do was give that rush a chance to be able to pin their ears back and rush, you know, on us, because those are some challenging snaps. And yeah. You could say conservative. Yeah, it was maybe a little bit more conservative. Is it against my nature? Yeah, damn right it is. But it's about figuring out how to play games to best win the football game. While that might not be for everybody, that was what I felt like was in the best interest of our team, to continue to maintain and try to establish that momentum going into the half. Ultimately, we didn't do enough in the second half. I don't think that had a, you know, contribution to it, but it was just really based on those factors why we took a more conservative approach and didn't really attempt a two-minute operation.
You've already beaten yourself
Which
up
does
plenty.
Pain me to you know, it was tough.
Oh, I'm sure it made
it
you
felt
nauseous.
Like it was best.
Yeah, and you weren't wrong. I mean, you got the defensive stop to begin the third quarter,
right.
And their pass rush was a problem in the second half.
Sure.
I mean, those were real elements that you decided on then. You've already beaten yourself up plenty over that last rep for Cooper Kupp. Not here to revisit that, but what is the status of his ankle?
But you are here to revisit that. No, just kidding. No, it's a necessary thing. So it was positive. You know, I mean, first of all, if you could do it again, I would have just probably called a run. The thought process was, all right, felt like that was the best chance to just get a quick conversion, not have to punt the ball back. and be able to just kind of run the clock out and get out of that game. In hindsight, would you do it differently? No question about it. I would not have left him even susceptible to that kind of injury. And I'll always try to learn from my mistakes. And that was a mistake. And I'm not afraid to admit that. He is doing good. Fortunately, it looks like we dodged a bullet. Now, there's some real swelling, you know, got an ankle sprain. Anytime that you're wired the way that he is, he's so tough. He's such a competitor, but that is a part of his game. Being able to work edges on people, the short space quickness, the lateral agilities, and that's where your ankle gets stressed. We'll probably use the week to really just, you know, be smart with him. But the projection right now is that hopefully he'll be able to go against the Bucks. And for that, I'm grateful. And I, you know, I'm very regretting, very much so regretting exposing him to that hit.
That's the best thing I heard. He's going to go against Tampa, hopefully. Yeah, yeah, that's a good deal. I think I've changed Christian McCaffrey's first name to Blanken. Yeah, I mean, good God, that guy's good. I have to say, I mean, my God, that guy's good.
He is. He was a great player, you know, before he played for the Niners. He was a great player for the Panthers. It's why he's done the things that he's done. And I thought they put him in a lot of good spots, and then he made some plays on his own. And it was an impressive performance. You got to give him credit where credit is due, and he certainly deserves that from yesterday.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, for the first chance of the season, you've got the opportunity to start the same five offensive linemen in back-to-back games. My question is, did they play well enough individually and collectively to make that the best approach
in
week 9?
Not sure yet. That's something that we're looking at. There's certainly areas of improvement, and we've got to do a good job of identifying what is going to be the best five. And there's been so many moving parts that have been unprecedented. A lot of people are dealing with it, but us in particular up front, there were some positives from all those guys, but to say that that's the exact group that we'll go with is something that we're still working through.
Did you feel the impact from Brian Allen's return that you were hoping for?
I did, yeah. I thought Brian was, I thought the communication, I thought some of the things that were reflected in the previous game when we played them where there's just, you know, just egregious errors because we're not sure what we're supposed to do. That was eliminated. I thought he had definitely had a hand in that. Thought he played well in particular, and I was pleased with Brian Allen.
Regardless of the five, you got to run the ball. This is football.
Yeah.
You got to run it. So, I mean, repetition. Eventually, you're going to get better running the football, or somebody's going to make somebody missing off the races, but you're not going to go away from a run game. You can't go away from a run game.
We have to continue to figure out, though. I mean, we got to figure out how to make it a better operation that you don't feel like you're wasting plays, because in some instances, that's what I feel like. And you know, we're getting some of the looks that we want, and we got to be able to execute better. We got to be able to hit blocks better. We got to be able to handle movement better. And then we got to be able to create a little bit more than what sometimes the play is blocked for. And so those are things that I don't think is asking too much. And then we also have to do a good job as coaches evaluating, all right, what are some of the different things, if it's applicable, to change it up, to keep people, you know, a little bit more off balance. But I think ultimately, you know, those are things that we're always looking at. You absolutely have to be able to run the football. What are the ways that we can do it and have better chances for more consistent execution and efficiency is something that we have to find, because it hasn't been good enough. And that's really through seven games. And we're certainly working at it. It's not for a lack of effort, but it's a production-based business, and we're not producing the way that we need to, and there's a lot of layers to it.
Any chance rookie Kyren Williams gives you a jolt in that regard?
There's a chance. You know, I thought he did a good job last week, JB. You know, he had a good week of preparation. I probably wouldn't rule him out for the possibility of activating him this week, but we'll take the week of practice to really see where he's at. And you know, he is a playmaker. He's a guy that I have a lot of confidence in, but he has yet to play really in an NFL game other than, you know, kind of the one kick return against Buffalo where he gets rolled up on. But there's definitely a possibility of that.
I think we were surprised when Rivers went out there first. Just the way it went down, or was that?
It was. You know, Darryl got the flu. He was having some breathing things just based on the way pregame went, and Darryl would have started otherwise, but that was why Ronnie ended up starting. I thought he did some good things. You know, you sometimes forget, you know, he's such a young player. He's really just getting his feet wet in NFL game action for the first time. There were some positives. There's going to be some things that he learns from, and that was what went into him starting that game.
Is it going to take a minute for Van? I mean, he hardly had a training camp, much less preseason, nothing to this point. That was his debut.
It was. I think so. And I think, you know, it really, it's impressive for Van to even get out there, be available. Love Van. I thought he did with what he could control with his opportunities. He definitely opened some things up for us, knew what was going on, got around 30 snaps in that game. Want to see that workload continue to increase. But anytime that you're coming off of a knee injury, you know, where he was doing so well in camp, had a little bit of a setback, I think there's just getting your feet wet. It was kind of the important thing for us. He did contribute contributed in some ways that don't show up on the stat sheet, but we know how he influenced and affected coverage in a way that opened up some other opportunities. And the better that we can get him feeling and the more snaps he's on the field, the better we are as an offense. And yesterday was just good to be able to get him back out there, but certainly you're going to want more from him. He's capable of that, and we've got to be able to do a good job of giving him those chances.
I think we used to call this, like, it doesn't matter who we play, it's about us. So everyone else is just called the targets.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore. It's just about how we play. We have to get better as a football team. Is that accurate right now?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that was accurate, you know, going into yesterday too, you know, and I think that's always consistent. You have to be able to take care of yourself first and foremost, while also understanding what are some of the matchups within the framework of a game that you need to be aware of to give yourself the best opportunity to try to come away with the win. And how do you want to play the game in all three phases to play complementary football? And we didn't do a good enough job of that yesterday. And so the answer is yes. It always starts with us. And then you do have to give respect where respect is due. And anytime that you play an NFL game, there's always respect for the opponent. But that's secondary after us handling our business and the things that we can control.
Before we flip to the Bucks, one other trade deadline question. Whether or not you make a move in the next 24 hours, is it fair to surmise that with you as the head coach, Aaron, Jalen, Cooper, Matthew in their primes, that this franchise is only looking at this as a mode of acquisition? And I mean that as talent, not just to fill a role on this year's team, but in terms of how you deploy your resources to build the best team for multiple years.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great way of articulating it. And that's been consistent. You know, the interesting thing, excuse me, about this year is, in different years, you know, you're saying, all right, there's a certain player that's available at a position of real need. There's probably more things that need to be addressed, you know, than in previous years, where there's not just one thing. If it was just one thing, you would feel good about it. But there's, like I've said kind of multiple times already, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of layers, a lot of elements, but ultimately, the answer is yes, JB. What direction that means we would go if a move is made, that is one of those things that we're really working towards and thinking about. And if something isn't made, then we didn't feel like it was in alignment with what best suits this team and for years to come.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what we said, right? Who would you get? Yeah.
But even if there is a who, I think to your point, where the Rams in 2022 go and how far they go has far more to do about the day-to-day improvement with the players who are already here.
That's exactly right. I agree with that.
All right. To the Buccaneers, can you believe that you're facing Tom Brady again? Did you think that would happen?
No, I did not. You know, I thought when he had retired, you're saying, thank goodness. And then I can remember, you know, Veronica and I were at an awards show, you know, and we didn't have our phones on. And then you could see during one of the breaks that they had, you know, everybody's talking about he came out of retirement. And you're thinking, good gosh, you know, but he is an incredible competitor. I don't care what's going on this year. I know Tom Brady's resume speaks for itself. This guy is the ultimate competitor as it relates to resilience, mental and physical toughness, ability to push the ball down the field, ability to be able to recognize defensive structures and make you pay. And we got to be ready to go. And he's, you know, he's incredible.
Kind of fun going on the road right now, right? Being the enemy.
Yeah.
Being the booed coming in, you know?
Absolutely.
Galvanizes you.
No, I think it'll be great. You know, it'll be a good opportunity for us to just go take a business trip, see if we can kind of get ourselves, you know, back to where we want to be, and then see if we can build on some momentum. But we got to have a great week of preparation for that to occur.
In terms of a non-division opponent, you have seen a lot of this franchise in recent seasons, including last postseason. Familiarity help? Getting week to week here?
I think I'll be able to give you a better indicator once I really dive into the preparation. Mm-hmm. But because there is continuity, you know, with Leftwich, with Coach Bowles running the defense, I would think the answer is yes. You know, you play him twice last year, you play him the year before. And so playing these guys three times over the last couple years with some consistency, even though they've had a little bit of personnel turnover. But I would imagine foundationally their philosophical approaches have remained the same. Does that give you an advantage? You know, it's hard to say because they're familiar with us as well. But we got to roll it out there and go play.
Well, we ain't quitting. We're coming.
Yeah. Hey, same here with me.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, it's a busy next 24 hours for you. Thank you very much for your time
Appreciate it tonight.
For DeMarco Farr, I'm JB Long. This has been the Coach McVay Show presented by Microsoft Surface.